But maybe we need to rework the math, because in reality, this is the way by which you put on the other six. This is the way by which we put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the feet that are shod, and take the sword of the Spirit. This is the way by which we serve and honor our King, by this weapon of prayer. To put it another way, we must live the Christian life by the power of prayer. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Thank you for being a part of the program today. Thank you for joining with us, and I hope that you will be blessed. Now, we're going to be dealing with a very vital, heart-stirring message on prayer. The spirit of asking, communing with God, interceding at the throne of grace. And this is something every Christian needs to enjoy. If you do not have a prayer life, do you have a life? If you do not have communion with God, do you have God? If you do not have an intercessory ministry, how are you going to have power in the Lord's service? Stay tuned with us as we answer these things today. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here. And I trust that today your heart will be enthralled with the joy of communing with the living God. That is our privilege. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus said, "Ask and ye shall receive, and ask in my name." So stay tuned with us now as we move to our pulpit ministry. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this way of coming to the throne of God in prayer, in worship, and with your word. And we pray that the one who wrote these words and moved this word to be written will write it on our hearts and move us to hear it with joy and gladness and give faith in the gospel of our Lord Jesus, and minister to every heart, we ask. I pray for that anointing I need, for the help of God the Holy Spirit to fill me and give me that utterance of heart that I may preach your word with your blessing and favor. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. I want to give you today John Calvin's five reasons why every Christian should be a personal prayer warrior. Number one, zeal. To show your zeal for God. That's a given. Number two, accountability. To have God as witness to our desires.
so that we come to God with our prayer requests and we make our needs and requests known to Him, God witnesses the desire of our hearts. Thirdly, preparation to receive God's benefits. That prepares the way for God to work in our hearts and to pour in His blessings. Number four, to recognize God's kindness. If you're not praying and asking, then you are saying, well, God has nothing for me, and you forget the goodness of God. Number five, to prove God's faithfulness in time of need to help. Oh, the Lord loves to help us. And when we ask in prayer, in Jesus' name, God is able to help. And we prove that our help comes from the Lord. Now today, with Ephesians chapter 6 open, we come to the seventh item of armor, which in verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And this is the last item on the list of the Christian's armor. It is number seven. But maybe we need to rework the math, because in reality, this is the way by which you put on the other six. This is the way by which we put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the feet that are shod, and take the sword of the Spirit. This is the way by which we serve and honor our King by this weapon of prayer. To put it another way, we must live the Christian life by the power of prayer. We know that the Lord Jesus did so. Now, He was God. He was omnipotent. He had all power in Himself. And yet, during His earthly life, as He lived for us, the Lord Jesus continually kept communion and prayer with His Heavenly Father. That, of course, was an example to us. We who are weak, we who have need of wisdom and help every day, the way to live the Christian life is to be in communion and asking our Heavenly Father. We know that in the early church after Pentecost, whenever there was revival, there were many people, many prayer meetings, and much asking of God. And so that is again our example. If we want to live in power and victory, then we must be a people of prayer. The Bible is filled with examples of men and women who were mighty in prayer. You have the life of Abraham, who was the altar builder. And every time you read about building an altar, it was for worship, it was for communion, it was to commune with God. And you have men like Elijah, who could call down fire. You have men like Moses, who stood at the burning bush, and God met with him, and he became a mediator for the people. Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, or maybe James. James, of whom it was said that he had camel's knees because he so long bent his knees for so long in prayer that his knees were calloused. Let me see your knees today. Is there any evidence that you are a man or a woman of prayer? Let me hear your voice in the church prayer meeting. When's the last time that I heard you personally calling on God for His blessing upon your soul and upon the souls of God's people in this church and in this nation? That's the challenge that comes to us here today, as we're told to put on the whole armor of God and taking this weapon of all prayer. Are we doing it? That is the challenge. Now, the thing to focus upon here is that prayer is the way of putting on all the other items. I want you to notice in the text, if you go to verse 18, you might want to get your pen ready. You might want to get this written down here in your Bible. And in verse 18, I want you to notice the three alls. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I have to confess that when preachers see something three times, they say, there's a sermon, 3 points. All prayer, all perseverance, and for all saints. And so that's our sermon outline here today. We see the types of prayer, there is the manner of praying, and of course this is the new life of the Christian, praying always. Is that you? When you're driving your car, when you're meditating or have free time at home, or maybe even in the biggest decisions of your life? Well, I want to pray about that. And this is your whole life now. This is the new you. You are no longer rushing in your own wisdom and your own thinking, but you want to have the mind of God. Now, every true born-again believer is brought into a new world of communion with our Heavenly Father. Because you're converted and born again, there is in you God awareness. What does my Heavenly Father think of this? I better talk to him about that. And so you become, by your new birth, by your new conversion, a praying man, woman, boy, or girl. And of course, faith in the gospel and in the promises of God opens up a whole realm of new possibilities, that you're not alone in this world. You're not your own guide. You're not your own director. You are now under the leading of your Heavenly Father. And you're going to make the matter a manner of prayer. Now, it says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication. That puts a new angle on this whole matter of prayer, because that leads us to specific petitions. Do you remember Zechariah when he was in the temple and the angel visited him and he said, "Thy prayer is heard"? God was going to give him a son who would become John the Baptist. "Thy prayer is heard." That means it was a specific request. He and his wife Elizabeth were praying for a child. And the angel came with the answer, "God has heard your prayer, your request." And so prayer is worship. Prayer is being in touch with God. But it also means to come with specific requests, petitions that you are burdened about, and you bring them unto God. Now, what is on your heart today? What is the pressing need of your life? Have you prayed about it? Have you personally, in a particular time and place, brought that request to the throne of God? That's specific prayer. Now, as we go down the list of the 7 items of armor, that means you will have your loins girt about with truth. But you will pray about that. Lord, lead me into the truth. Guide me from out of deception. Deliver me from the wrong way. And give me an understanding when I read the Bible. Oh Lord, speak to my heart. Teach me, oh Lord. That is the way by which you You gird your very loins with truth by asking God to help you do it. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness. And we had a whole sermon on that. And how the soldier puts on this mail of armor that protects the vital organs of his body. And of course, we as Christians have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Our hearts are washed by the blood. Our inner life is renewed. But we bring that to God in prayer and we say, Lord, lead me to enjoy that. Lead me into the blessings of that. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and we learned how the soldier must stand. He must not be on slippery ground with shoes that fail him. He must not be open to the mines and the snares of the enemy. That's all to be prayed about. Now, I don't know what temptations you faced this last week, and I don't know what temptations you may face in the week to come. But if you are a man or woman of prayer, with all prayer and supplication, you will be crying to God, guide me, deliver my feet from the path of destruction, and lead me into a plain path. Then the sword of the Spirit. That's our Bible, by the way. And boys and girls, this week we're going to be learning how to do sword drills with our Bibles. And we need to pray that we know how to wield the Bible, the Word of God, by which we will be kept, strengthened. And we do that by prayer. Prayer and the Bible go together. Bible and prayer go together. We have a hymn that says, put on the gospel of armor, each piece put on by prayer. Or another hymn, to keep your armor bright, attend with constant care, still walking in your captain's sight, and watching unto prayer. Living the daily life, living for Christ with a prayerful mind. Is that you? Are you a man or woman of prayer? That's what the apostle is pleading here. Put on praying with all prayer and supplication. Now, we come to the ministry of prayer in the Spirit. Oh, prayer, I confess, is the hardest thing in the world. It's the most unnatural thing in the world. It's the thing that we must really be diligent about, and we need much help. We come, of course, in prayer to the engine room of power. But we need to be in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You can't pray when you're watching your favorite television program, because that's the material, the natural. You can't pray and you're counting your dollars, whether it's a stack of notes on the table or going online and looking at your bank account. You can't pray while you've got your mind on earthly things. Prayer takes diligence and discipline. And we need to be in the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to come to fit us and fill us. And prayer is more than just saying a prayer. Maybe when you're a child, you went to bed at night and you said, bless my mom and dad and keep the fleas from biting and all those things. You just said a prayer. But did you really pray? And it's more than just using a prayer book, reading a prayer that someone else wrote. Is that really the spirit of prayer? It's more than just lip profession. It must come out of your heart that is moved by the Spirit. And the wonderful thing is that the Bible tells us that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought. But He, the Holy Spirit, enables us to pray according to the will of God. And so prayer really involves the Trinity. You pray to the Father through Jesus the Son by the help and power of the Holy Spirit. And it is the work of the Spirit that enables you to plead in your praying, to pray in your praying. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who began his ministry in Wales, that was his native country, and he preached to men who worked in a mining town. And many of them were converted to the Lord Jesus through his ministry. God gave that little church and town a breath of revival during those years, somewhere around the end of the 1930s, just before the Second World War. Those men who came to Christ, they came to weekly prayer times in the church. And those men learned to pray. Now, they were not educated men. They weren't mighty with words. But when they called on God, it was as if God gave them an utterance that was beyond their own personalities. And they learned to pray with power. And you can too. There is no one here today that can say, a prayer ministry is not for me. That's for somebody else. And you've probably heard about people, you know, you've got to find your own gift, whatever that gift is going to be. You've got to find your gift. And I might have the gift of hospitality, the gift of serving, but I don't have the gift of prayer. Nonsense. Every Christian is called to a personal ministry of prayer, privately and in the church. And you, if you're using that excuse, are saying prayer is not for me, God does not give me that gift. That means you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're really saying, I don't want the Holy Spirit to work in me, this mighty weapon of prayer. C.H. Spurgeon said that the Holy Ghost writes our prayers, God the Son presents our prayers, and God the Father accepts our prayers. That's wonderful. That's a blessing indeed. And I trust that you will obey this call, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Then the second all is all perseverance and supplication. All perseverance and supplication. Now, perseverance. We give up sometimes when it comes to pray. We might begin a little, find it so difficult, almost frustrating, and then we give up. And that's why it says here, watching thereunto with all prayer. Watching means to be on guard. On guard. Don't give up. There's a diligence required.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and just recently I did a little clip on my new Bible. It's a King James Bible, and I gave some reasons why I use the authorized version of the Bible, and I referred to it as the version with all the verses in it. And we also advocated a King James Version study Bible by Heritage Reformation Study Bible, and I hope that that is an encouragement to you. It is available at Heritage Books. The Trinitarian Bible Society is an organization that we like to support and promote. They do a tremendous work at getting the Bible and the gospel out to the nations. And they are so well located there in London, England. They are well funded. They are well established. They are doing a work in so many different parts of the world. They have recently completed a Bible, Spanish Bible, for the Spanish-speaking countries of the world. And they've also done a translation for Nepal, for the Nepalese people. And that's something that's very important to the Free Presbyterian Church, because we have a sister denomination there called the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal, and they have about 100 congregations scattered from the cities right into the mountains, and some of them are house churches. And the Lord has opened a tremendous door for the ministry of the gospel in that land. And how important it is that these people have the Bible in their own language. We are convinced that it needs to be translated to the common language of the people that they may understand it clearly. Now, the need of getting the Bible to all the nations of the world is really staggering. And it's something that we need to be praying about as Christians, something that we need to take to heart as believers, and I hope that you are active in Bible distribution. You could get an extra copy or two and pass them along to your friends and neighbors, and then come back and ask them, did you read that? Did you note that? Or show them things in the Bible that they would do well learning. And, of course, creation is always a very big one. And going back to how God created Adam and Eve, how he created the world in 6 days, and then Noah's flood, those great questions that are so important to everyday life. Where did we come from? How did we get here? Why is the world the way it is? Why is this a world of suffering? The Bible has the answers. And so we recommend to you the Trinitarian Bible Society. And every time you purchase a Bible from them, you're helping a tremendous cause. So stay tuned with us here as we bring the message of the Bible today. Thank you for being a part of our program. And of course, join us each time when we let the Bible speak. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.